And the rest of us, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. God is good tonight. And I want you to know I am going to, with the help of the Lord, share something that I have never preached before, never looked into as closely as I have for the lesson tonight, and still don't think I fully understand it. Can I be honest and say that tonight? How many recognize the pastor don't have all the answers? Somebody say amen. Some of you should have hollered amen really loud right then. Being nice. Thank you, Brother David. All right, let's stand to our feet. We are continuing. This is part number 6 in a lesson series we've chose to title All the Prophets. Tonight, within that 6, this is the 4th session on what I want to call beginning at Moses. And again, Luke chapter number 24. And notice, I've read this many times. We've read it over and over and over. Let me just say verse 27, where it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Himself." Reach your hands this way and let us agree in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. Lord, we praise you this evening. Thank you for your mercy, your love, your goodness. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, tonight for your holy word. And Lord, as we look into your word tonight, just guide us, Father, in the way that you'd have us to go. We acknowledge you in all of our ways tonight. Be glorified through this message. We praise you, Jesus, for your holy word. Thank you for your touch, for your power tonight. Uplift and encourage and do the work, Father, that only you can. Thank you for your touch and presence we've already felt this evening. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Shake someone's hand before you're seated. Say, it's good to see you in the Lord's house this evening. I do want to say I do appreciate Micah tonight for leading service. And Brother Micah, I was sitting thinking, I know you all are here on an intern program to learn from us, but I don't know, I feel like I've learned a lot from them, you know, and I love to have Brother Michael lead service. I know he's sincere in the Lord, and I love his emphasis on prayer, but I feel like I've learned from you, and I do appreciate y'all tonight. I'm glad God sent you our way. Amen. Revelation chapter 15. Again, we've read, and we've began here in Luke 24, as we have for the last 6 sessions now. We've skipped over a couple of weeks, not done this in a consecutive fashion, but we've looked at these scriptures, and again, I find so much in the Word of God about my Jesus. Help me understand that you can start in Genesis, and pretty much every chapter, you're going to find something about Jesus there. Now, tonight, I want to title, we've titled the lesson series, but our focus tonight, rather, is the Song of Moses. I want you all to say that. Say, Song of Moses. And how many know what the Song of Moses is? Just curious. How many have sat down, read, studied, thought about the Song of Moses? It's a curious phrase. Revelation 15, if you're there, say amen. I want you to notice verses 3 and verse number 4. It says, "And they sing the song of Moses." Have me reading this with me. "The servant of God and the song of the Lamb." Now here we go, saying. The song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, and then it gives a phrase or two here talking about the beginning or the words of this song. And this is not two songs, the song of Moses and a different song called the song of the Lamb, but they are one in the same song. Now, it's here. Can you say amen? Now, what all the words of this song? Well, we're going to take a look. But hold your place here in Revelation, because I'm going to do a little comparison here as I wade into this evening. And again, I don't know that I can answer all the questions pertaining to this, but Brother Mike, I exhausted every resource, looked up every reference I could find, trying to gain a little bit of an understanding. This is the fourth week which we have talked about Moses and things pertaining to Moses. We took a week and talked about the Lamb of God. How many understand that Jesus is the Lamb of God? Love how John the Baptist, seeing our Lord come on the banks of the River Jordan, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And how many see in that Passover lamb whose blood was applied to the doorpost, how many see in that our manner of deliverance through the blood of Jesus, our Lamb of God? Amen. I see that, and we've talked about that in great detail. We took a week and talked about Moses and Jesus being similar to each other, and we really focused on that week in talking about the intercession that Moses did in the presence of God. And I'm glad Jesus, my intercessor, is at the right hand of God the Father. He's there for me. He's our go-between. He's our middleman. And I'm so glad that He is there in the presence of God in my stead. We thank God for that. Amen. Last session, which was 2 weeks ago, we talked about three things. We talked about water in the rock. We talked about the manna from heaven. And we talked about the brass serpent. And I'm not going to rehash all of these. But how many can see in the writings of Moses a lot about Jesus? How many catch that so far? And we see that Jesus, as He is encountering these two people on the road to Emmaus, and He's expounding unto them, beginning at Moses, all things pertaining to Himself. There's a lot that we can read there. I was talking to a man at work today, and I said, you know, that when Paul got up and started preaching, he didn't tell people to turn to the book of Peter. How many understand that? There was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Acts. There was no bound copy of this 27-book New Testament the way we have today. How many are thankful we've got them today, like all the books we've got? So what they had was the Old Testament and the Old Testament exclusively. And out of that, we see that they preached Jesus. Amen. Now, again, hold your place in Revelation, and there's actually two places, and we're not going to turn to both of these, but Deuteronomy chapter 31 and 32 is where I really want us to focus on for a few minutes tonight. We're talking about the song of Moses and of the Lamb. And when I look at Moses, I think of Jesus. Now, Moses wasn't Jesus. How many understand that Moses was an individual used by God? Amen. I do not believe that Moses was a pre-incarnation of Jesus. I've heard all sorts of theories, this, that, and the other. Moses was a man used by God. I'm going to leave Moses alone at that. But God, in a miraculous way, foreshadowed Jesus through the life of Moses. Thankful for that. Amen. In Exodus 15, there was a song sung. And it was a song of victory over Pharaoh as we see the children of Israel crossed on dry ground, and after they went across on dry ground, what did Pharaoh's army do? How many here believe you'd have been smart enough not to do that? How many can say amen? After I seen all that, Larry, you could not have paid me to run after the children of Israel in a dry riverbed. I'm smarter than that. I really believe I am. But anyways, we see the judgment of God closed in on Pharaoh and his army as they were overthrown in the sea. And after they got across, this is where Miriam and the ladies of Israel with timbrels and dances, they sung a song that God had gave them the victory. And how many understand that losers usually don't sing unless they're singing the blues? Getting out their harmonica and saying gloom, despair, and agony on me, I don't know. But what you get with singing, you got a victory with song. How many understand when you're singing, you're usually happy? Can you say amen? When you're singing, you have something to sing about. And to me, we have everything as children of God to sing because we've got victory. And you know, when I think of this first song in Exodus chapter 15, I think of how that my God, through the salvation of the Lord, destroyed the work and power of the enemy, broke the back of Satan, of sin, at the cross of Calvary, delivering me, and in one fell swoop, forgiving me and destroying the devil all at one shot. Glory to God. Y'all should have started shouting right then. You'd run in the pews or something. But we see a victory, amen, in Jesus, and I see that foreshadowed in the song they sung. Again, that's Exodus 15, but what I want to tell you is I don't believe that's the song of the Lamb and the song of Moses. And if you're in Deuteronomy 31, notice verse number 30. How many are at Deuteronomy 31? Verse number 30. And again, I'm going to say and reiterate tonight, I don't know that I've got all the answers to this, but I'll share this with you tonight, and we'll look at the Word of God. And I really believe we're going to be encouraged tonight. Hallelujah. God wants to give you a song. God wants to put a bounce in your step. The Lord wants you to know that you've got victory. And I've got a subtitle in my Bible. It has, it divides this up. This is not part of the text. But right there, before the last verse of chapter 31, it says Moses' song. If you're in verse 30, say amen. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this what? Song until they were ended. And then we go into, and how many are still holding your place in Revelation chapter 15? I asked you to do that. How many understand I did ask you to do that? I hope you didn't lose it, because if you did, now you got to find it again. So Moses introduces this song with the last verse of chapter number 31. He then, in chapter 32, for the first 43 verses, tells this song. So you have 43 verses, and that's not really even all of chapter number 32. It goes past that. But the first 43 verses, I believe, to be the words of this song. And notice, hold your place here in chapter 32 and sort of flip over to Revelation 15. I know that's a big stretch. The last book in the Bible and the fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy on one hand, Revelation on the other. Now, we read Revelation 15 and 3. If you're back there, say amen. How many is holding your place in Deuteronomy? I do have a purpose for this. So just bear with me for a few minutes. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, now here starts the words, great and marvelous are thy works. Now flip back to Deuteronomy. Hold your place in Revelation. And what we're going to see is this basically is how that this psalm, these words of Moses began. Amen. Notice here in verse number 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, and notice what it says, ascribe ye greatness. Somebody say greatness. Great and marvelous are his ways, is the way we've read it in Revelation 15 and 3. Deuteronomy 32 and 3, ascribe you greatness unto our God. Now notice the next verse. This is really important. He is the rock. His work is perfect. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. And what does it say here? Just and right is he. How many will agree with the statement that God is just and God is right? I exonerate God in every area of my life. I will acknowledge this evening that if there's anything wrong with me, it's me. It ain't God. Now, back to Revelation. And again, hold your place in Deuteronomy. Notice what it says here in verse number 4. Hallelujah. In fact, let me do verse 3 again. The end of it, it says, just and true are his ways, thou King of saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy, for all nations come and worship before thee, and thy judgments are made manifest. And what I'm trying to do in my own feeble way is look at the first portion of what the writer in Revelation is describing as this song of Moses and of the Lamb. And what I find here at the start of what Moses is recording here, there are a lot of similarities. Just and true are His ways. He is a God that is marvelous. He's a God that's great. But the writer in Revelation don't get into all the detail that Moses in Deuteronomy does. Someone say, praise the Lord. Having said that, let's go to Deuteronomy, and we don't need to go back to Revelation. The song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. How many believe that that we need to sing greatness to God? I don't know. I don't want to be mean this evening, but there's sometimes we'll sing songs. How many love me tonight? Not going to get mad at me. You know, and I know we'll sing songs about, I know, Grandma's Bible or something like this, that, and the other, and, you know, different things. I want to sing songs that lift up the Lord. I want to sing songs that focus on Him. And I not only want to sing songs about God, I want to sing songs to God. Love, praise, and worship choruses in which we just talk to God and just magnify Him. And I just want to let the Lord know that I love Him tonight. And I know I've got an audience of one. As long as He can hear me sing, it doesn't matter what I sound like to man anyways. Can you say amen? Now, what I've got here, I want to look, Deuteronomy 32. I want to look at this song, and I'm not going to read all 43 verses to you, but what I have found, what I have discovered, never heard another person preach this, never prior to studying and preparing for this message, sat down and laid this out and come to an understanding of what I think this is, but I can see the similarity between what we read in Revelation 15 and what's recorded here in Deuteronomy 32. I want you to notice verse number 4. If you're in verse 4, say amen. Deuteronomy 32 and 4, it says, He is the, what does it say? He is the what? He is the rock. His work is perfect. Brother Micah, rock is capitalized here. And you know how your pastor is about these capitalized words. How many understand? I love to draw people's attention to those. He is what? He is the rock. Jump down to verse number 15 in this same chapter. We're still in the middle of this song. Verse 15 talks at the end of that, and they lightly esteemed what? Into verse number 15, the what? The capital R, rock of His salvation. Go down about three more verses. It says, of the what? Rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful. Jump down to verse number 30, way down through here. It says, how could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 flight, except their what? There we go. Again, rock. Capitalized. Notice verse 31. For their rock is not as our what? Rock. There we go again. But what we've got across these 43 verses, five times we see a capitalized title of our God, and He is called the Rock. How many know Him today as the Rock of Ages? I want to know Him as my bedrock foundation. And He is indeed my rock. Love verse 13. I skipped over this one. It doesn't capitalize this, but it says, He made Him ride on high places of the earth that He might eat the increase of the fields. He made Him to suck honey out of the rock. How many remember that old hymnal song, Honey in the Rock? Yeah, how many remember that? Anybody remember that? It's been a long time, Brother Larry, since we've heard that one. There's honey in that rock for me. And I do believe that He is the source of every goodness and all the sweetness and all the source of the nutrients we need. We have to go to that rock. Now, how many recognize last week, Brother Ted, you talked about the rock? 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let's turn to that. Can I say that the song of Moses, the song of the Lamb, is the song of our rock? We read repeatedly there how that it refers to Him as our rock. And we need a rock today. How many believe that the United States needs a rock? How many believe our government needs a rock? We need to understand who the rock is and where we're founded upon. Now, I'm bringing this back in. We talked about this last week, and I'm not going to reteach, not last week, when the last time we had our lesson, 2 weeks ago. But 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, they did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that, what? Spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You know, I'm the type of preacher, and how many that have listened to me over the last almost 10 years that I've been here, how many understand I preach a whole lot about Jesus? And to me, it goes without saying that we must know that we know that we know that our foundation is not in a denomination, an organization, a group of men. Our foundation, you know, is not in a preacher, it's not in a personality. But our foundation is in the man Jesus himself. Now, last week we talked about that brass serpent. And how many recall us talking about the brass serpent they lifted up on a pole? It became the antidote for the snake bite. But we find that that brass serpent, later on, people burn incense to it and they worshiped it. And Hezekiah broke it in pieces, said this is nothing more than a piece of brass. I don't want to mix symbols with the real thing. I don't want to mix that up, you know. I don't want to worship a cross other than what my Lord and Savior did on that cross. Understand what I'm saying? A cross is a piece of wood. Hear me now. But what Jesus done on the cross is purchased my salvation, and it bases everything that I do is based on the fact of what Jesus done for me on the cross. We're thankful for that. But understand, our focus needs to be not on symbols, not on things, not on personalities, people, or anything else. My hope is built on Christ and Christ alone. No other foundation. And we're going to talk about that tonight because I believe the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb is the fact that in Him is our foundation. And there is absolutely no other foundation. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 16. Some of you may know where I'm going now. They call this the Confession of Caesarea Philippi. In which our Lord to challenge the disciples, who do men say that I am? They gave Him many alternatives, possibilities of who people think you are. And Jesus asked them, who do you think I am? How many understand in our lives we have to answer that question? In other words, who is Jesus? Very relevant question, but the greater question is, who is Jesus to us? I recall one time when I was in Tennessee and I was preaching in a gospel tent, and through the middle of the day, a man visited us and we were sitting there talking. And of course, I was, I don't know, about 20 or 21 years old at the time, just been in the ministry a short period of time. I was the know-it-all scholarly How many know what a smart aleck is? Already had all the answers, Brother Richard. I thought the first year I was saved, I already had it all figured out. And honest to goodness, I'm telling you the truth. The older I get, the more I recognize, less I know. I don't know. I think it's just leaking out over time. I'm just spilling it all out. I don't know. But anyways, he looked at me. This guy did. We was in Bean Station, Tennessee. And he said, who's Jesus? And I start saying, why, He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I started rattling off all of these titles. You know, the scholarly, knowledgeable approach. And I got to the end of spewing out probably 40 or 50 names of Jesus. And he looked at me without batting an eye and said, you didn't say Savior. That was a very good point. How many understand Jesus is our King? But if He ain't our Savior, let me understand we've missed absolutely everything. The whole thing. Of course, He was my Savior. I believe that. You know, but I didn't mention that. I didn't mention that, and it actually sort of convicted me, and I got to thinking about that. So who is Jesus to you? A wonderful question, and we all got to answer that question. Who is Jesus to us? Is He our sole ticket to heaven? Is Jesus a way to heaven, or is He the way to heaven? Oprah says, any way will do. How many understand all roads do not lead to God, friends? There is a broad way that leads to destruction. There is a straight and narrow way that leads to life, and that's the road we want to be on. Now notice Matthew 16, and again, the song of the Lamb tonight, in my opinion, is the song of our God being our foundation. He is our rock. And I'm singing that song tonight. How many are singing that song with me? How many are tapping your foot right along with me tonight? You're right in beat with me. You're in sync with me. You're singing the same tune because you know Him as your rock tonight. He is your Savior. Verse 18, and I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Now I want to qualify that this is not the rock of the Apostle Peter himself, but the portion of revelation that Peter did receive. And how many understand what that is? The fact that Jesus is the Son of the living God, because Peter just mentioned that, and Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. What is the rock isn't the person, but what is the rock was what was revealed to the person. How many can say amen to what I'm trying to say? And some people will say, well, this is Peter and that he was the first pope, and you know, believe what you want to believe. You know, Peter was a man, a fallible man. We find out that later on he denied the Lord, and but God still used him. Amen. And God did a great work through Peter. Don't get me wrong, but friends, my foundation is not in the Apostle Peter. Amen. My foundation is in Jesus. It says, and upon this rock I will build. I love Jesus. Operative here. Personal pronoun, I. The work is not left to another. Jesus is doing the work here. I will build the possession, my church, not somebody else's church. How many know we're part of His church? Your name may be on the local roll here. It may not be on the local roll here. I mean, you understand, you don't have to have your name on the local roll to have your name on the big roll that really, really counts. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in church. I believe in church membership. I believe it's a great thing. But friends, this is not going to get you to heaven. You've got to know Jesus to make it to heaven. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what we need to do is make sure we're in the right church, part of the right group, singing the right song, having the right foundation. Amen. Isaiah 28. Turn with me. What is the song of the Lamb? What is the song of Moses? Moses, the mediator of the old covenant. Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. I'm looking at Jesus as my deliverer. Moses delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage and cruel slavery of Egypt. Jesus is my deliverer today. And by a wonderful salvation, He broke the back of the enemy. Isaiah 28, verse 16. And this verse is quoted a couple times in the New Testament. We could have read any, either of those. But Isaiah 28 and 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried, that means a tested, proven stone. How many believe Jesus is tested, tried, and proven? I believe that. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And He says, he that believeth on Him, the writer in the New Testament says, shall not be ashamed. Here He says, shall not make haste. How many believe if we're trusting in Him and we're singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, and He is our rock, He is our foundation, that we're not going to be ashamed, but we know that what He done will help us make it to that place. I believe that. Let's go back to the New Testament. I should have left you there. 1 Corinthians. We turned there just a moment ago. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want to drive home the point tonight that we are founded on Jesus. He's my rock. I was talking to this individual, I think I mentioned it just a second ago. I was talking to a guy at work today mentioning about the rock that followed Israel in the wilderness and the fact that there was a multitude of two and a half, maybe 3 million people, Sister Betty. We don't know, but it was a lot of people. And the water that come out of the rock there, I believe it is Psalm 107. describes it exactly as rivers. And I can't remember, I think it's Josephus or some historian had described that when that water come out, it formed this river that meandered here, whatever. But can you imagine how much water it would take? And he'd mentioned, what if someone thinks it's some little leaky, drippy stone? Can you imagine being in line with 2 million people holding a cup up to a leaky, drippy stone? How many understand that's pretty narrow thinking? But water gushed out of this rock, formed rivers. They had to have enough to drink, to cook, to bathe, to wash their clothes, to water their animals. And we're talking men between the ages of 20 and 50. There was over 600,000 men, not counting the older men. And in that day, they lived commonly over 100 years old. Not counting the younger men or any of the women. So a 2.5 to 3 million is a conservative number. And there was enough water coming out of this rock to do all that work. And are y'all ready for this? That rock followed them. I don't know how it slid or rolled or what it done. But that rock followed them. And I'm so glad my rock follows me today. And that he is faithful. And we read about the rock last week and how that Moses, when he in his haste struck that rock twice in anger, yet God in faithfulness still allowed water to come out. Aren't you thankful for God's faithfulness? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. I want you to notice verses 10 and 11. And again, driving home the point that Jesus is our only stone. He is our rock. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Verse 11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus Christ. And as I read this, you know, I'm cautioned that we need to make sure that as Christians, when we live our lives, we need to live our life so that we don't hinder the foundation of Christ in other people's lives. Are y'all with me this evening? Help me understand you can be a stumbling block. You can be a hindrance to the gospel. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What do you think it means here when it refers to the foundation of the apostles and prophets? How many have your Bible? How many can hold your Bible up this evening? Hold your Bible up good and high. Jesus is the cornerstone. He's the foundation stone. The entire building is in plumb with the cornerstone. But I believe that it's all built upon the Word of God, which is Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Amen. But our building needs to be based upon Jesus and the person of Jesus himself. Our trust is in what he done and provided through the cross of Calvary. And our lives are built and founded upon the Word of God. And we do that. This last verse applies to us. Luke chapter 6. And this is the last verse I ask you to turn to. What is the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb? I believe it's dependency on him. Trust in his provision. I'm glad the Lord is a rock in the wilderness. Jesus is my Lamb of God. Delivered me from bondage. Jesus is my manna. He's my bread in the wilderness. Jesus is my water. Hallelujah. Jesus is my cloud by day. Talking to that same individual today, he'd mentioned this. I had never thought about it. But he said, you think that cloud by day gave him shade? I don't know why I had never thought of that. I don't know that I had. He was a pillar of fire by night, light, warmth. During the day, shade. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 6, and, you know, wasn't raised in church, but I remember this saying from years ago. And help me understand, we need to dig down and find something real. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. I'm going to ask you, if you haven't already, dig a little deeper. And I recognize mom and daddy may have been fine folk, and again, I'm not saying it. I know that I wasn't raised in a Christian home, although periodically I was taken to church. And I don't resent the fact that anyone was raised in a Christian home. But you can't go on mama's skirt coat or daddy's or grandma's or grandpa's or aunt's or uncle's. And if you're based on someone else's relationship, I'm going to ask you to dig a little deeper. Okay? You need to get that sand out of the way because you ain't hit rock yet. But what? They digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when? I want to point out that does not say if. It says when. You know what that tells me? It's coming. It ain't a matter of if it comes or not. It will come. The only matter is time. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. We just need to just lift our hands and praise Him that we can be founded on Jesus tonight. And when the storm comes, Brother Dammer, we're not going to be shook. We're founded on a rock. This is the song I'm singing you tonight, that our trust is in the rock. It's in Him. And we're not going to be confounded. We're not going to be put to shame. Now let's keep reading. Hallelujah. For it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like unto a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was, what does it say? It was great. It all comes down to what are we trusting in this evening. And I really believe sometimes people must think I am a broken record. But I will tell you, beyond any shadow of a doubt, if you listen to what I've got to say, I will point you to Jesus Christ and to Him alone. Because I have no other foundation. I have no tricks up my sleeve. I have no instant formulas. I have no incantation. I've got no set prayer for you to pray that'll save you other than pointing you to Jesus. That's it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Sister Betty, will you come to the piano this evening? The Song of Moses and of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tonight, are you singing that song? Are you dancing to that beat? Is that the heartbeat of your life? You know, there's something about a song. There's something about a song that does something in your mind. A song produces a meditation. How many, not to distract you, but if I went plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Now, how many memories? Now, how many of y'all got that in your mind, don't you? You'd be thinking about that the rest of the service. Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. The point is that little ditty from a commercial years ago planted a seed in you that has not left. The point is that a song brings about a meditation. That's right. I'm going to ask you tonight to adopt the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb as your meditation. You are focused on the fact He is my rock. His work is perfect. And I've got these wrote here. They lightly esteemed the rock of His salvation. Of that rock they wasn't mindful. And I love how Deuteronomy 32:31, for their rock is not as our rock. I've got the right rock tonight. How many got the right rock tonight? But I want to ask you to allow the song of Jesus Christ to be your meditation, to be your focus, so that you've got that on the inside. You tap your foot to it. You hum it as the day goes along. And you are focused on Jesus. How many can say praise the Lord tonight? Let's stand to our feet as Sister Betty's getting ready to sing a song. God is so good. God is so good. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this evening. We praise You this evening. I honor You for Your holy word. I thank You for Your touch, Your goodness, Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, for every promise that in Christ Jesus is yes and amen. Thank You, Lord, that You are the rock. You are our high tower. You are our defense city. You are the firm foundation, Lord, that we're founded upon. We've dug down and we found You, Jesus. And we're trusting in You, Jesus. Have Your way in every heart and life tonight. For it's in Your holy name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Let's come and gather on the altar tonight. Find a place and pray. Kneel at your seat. Call upon your rock tonight. Call upon Jesus tonight.